Come on, God deserves greater praise than that. Come on, you're in the house of God this morning. What I love about that song, if you've never noticed it, it speaks in the future tense, meaning my heart will sing how great, my eyes will see how great, because there's sometimes in life at the current moment, you're not seeing God's greatness. You're not feeling God's greatness. But that's a song of declaration. That in the end, you're going to look back at your life. You're going to look back at the problems you were afraid of right now. You're going to look back at those things that discouraged you. And you're going to see how great God was and is. Can we give him a shout of praise today? Amen, amen. Well, do I have a word for you? I'm going to turn to the book of Mark chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 22, the word of God says this. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside to the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking around," meaning his eyes were blurry. Once more, can we all say once more? Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. How many of you need God to just change some perceptions in your life? Only God has the power to change what you see, how you see things. Notice the Bible says his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Father, as we pray and as we just lift up this word, may it be a blessing to us, Lord, as it comes from you out of my mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak, to you this morning on the subject of better isn't best. Better isn't best. Say it with me. Better is not best. I was reading this passage of scripture about 2 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago, and it got my attention. And I know it's for someone today, whether you're here presently in our church or you're listening online, the Lord has a word for you this morning. The Bible says, I don't know who they are, but they brought a man who was blind and they begged him, they begged Jesus to heal him. In other words, what they were really saying was they brought this man to Jesus and they begged him because they wanted a change in their circumstance. They wanted to see a difference in this man. They wanted to see this man delivered. They wanted a better life for their man. Maybe this was a family member, a friend, a loved one, a spouse. I don't know who they represent, but they are the ones that came to Jesus. This blind man did not call on Jesus. This blind man did not request Jesus. He did not yell for Jesus. No, they were the ones that brought this to Jesus because they were the ones that wanted to see this person change. So they brought him to Jesus. Now listen, they begged him. They begged him. They didn't just ask once or twice. They pleaded with him in agony that they wanted to see this man healed. They wanted change. They wanted deliverance. They wanted a better life. They wanted to be blessed. And this is what the Lord put in my heart as I began to read this. I asked myself this question. I'm going to ask you this morning. If you could bring anything to Jesus right now today, knowing he would change it, what would you bring him? What would you ask him to do? Who would you want him to change? What would you want him to change? Would it be a change that you want him to do within yourself? Would it be a change you want him to do in your family, in your spouse, in your kids? What was it? What is it in your life right now that if Jesus says, you bring it to me right now and I will change it? All of us here would jump at this opportunity to bring our marriage to him, to bring our finances to him. We'll bring ourselves to him. We'll bring our health to him. We'll bring all our struggles to him. And you know what I love about this passage of scripture is they just brought it. They brought him to Jesus. Because there are some things in your life you cannot change. There are some people in your life you cannot change. I believe that in life there are circumstances that you can change that God doesn't need to. You have the power to do it yourself. You don't need to pray about it. But I do also believe that there are certain situations in your life that only God can handle, only God can fix, and only you can bring it to him. So what I'm wondering is what you're thinking about right now. If you could bring anything to Jesus or anyone, knowing he would change it, what would you bring him? I got deeper in this passage of scripture. They brought this blind man, and verse 22 says, they begged. They begged Jesus. But you know what I noticed about this? The begging did not heal him. The begging did not heal him. The begging did not change anything. The begging did not get anything done. Let me apply this to you now. I wonder how many of us will die desiring, wanting, and begging, but never seeing it happen. You can die with desire. You can die with want. You can die begging God. Please, God, do this for me. Do this for me. God, please change this. God, fix this. Please deliver me. Please do this. God, please. And every day of your life, you pray the same thing. You beg for the same thing. You want the same thing. But I want to tell you, begging does not change your circumstances. Begging will not change you. Begging will not change your situation. Begging will not change your problems or your struggles. They begged Jesus. But that's not what healed this man. And I think what they wanted was what we want from God sometimes. I think what they wanted was instant results without process. I think what they wanted was Jesus to just, you know, touch him and be healed. So we can go back home, go back to our lives and be better. And I wonder how many of you think you're going to get better and healed and deliver and live in victory with just one church service. I wonder how many of you think with one prayer your life is going to be transformed forever. The only thing that's instant with God is salvation. That's it. The second you confess to Jesus that you are a sinner and he died on the cross for your sins and you receive him as Lord and Savior, that is the only thing in Scripture that God will produce instantly. Your salvation. You are saved once and for all. That is it. That is it. But I always like to bring bad news with good news for some reason. But the bad news is the process of transformation is not instant. That's a work in progress. And maybe they heard, whoever they are, maybe they heard that Jesus touched a few people and they were healed. And Jesus spoke a few words and they were delivered. So, you know what gets me upset when I read this scripture? Is that if this were me and I hear that Jesus touched this man in John chapter 9 and he was healed. And Jesus spoke to this woman and she was healed. And I heard this woman just touched Jesus and she stopped bleeding after 12 years. And Jesus instantly helped this person and that person and this person. Hey, let's bring him to Jesus. And they brought him to Jesus. Hey, here it is. Do it. Do it. Come on, change it. And he said no. Don't you just hate it when God does something for someone else he hasn't done for you? Because sometimes, yes, God can change something instantly, but there are some things in your life God wants to put through a processor. And that is you. And for some odd reason, I can't know why, but Jesus did not touch this man instantly to be healed. He wanted to take him through a three-step process. Because not every miracle is instant. Some of you may be on your way to a miracle and not even know it because you're in the process of one. But during the process, you're getting discouraged. You feel like giving up. You're thinking, I don't know what God is doing. But hey, he's doing something. You don't have to see it instantly to praise God. You can praise God for what he will do, even if he hasn't done it instantly. You're saying, well, Pastor, what's the process? What am I going to go through? Because I'm tired of seeing my life this way. I'm tired of my problems. I'm tired of my depression. I'm tired of fighting with my family. I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of being tired all the time. I just want change. I want to live in victory. I want to live how other people live. I see other people happy. I see God doing things in their life that he's not doing in mine. So God, whatever it is, put me through the processor because I want to change. If that's you, raise your hand right now. Get ready. I'm about to beat you up. Ready? The process. It's not instant. See, God made it clear in this scripture that there is a process to a breakthrough. And not every breakthrough is instant. You're not going to change overnight. I'm not just going to preach one sermon. You're never going to struggle with that thing, whatever that thing is, again. Have I seen it done? Absolutely. I can't discredit God either like that. You know, my dad prayed one prayer and quit smoking in one day. One prayer. You're talking about a guy who stopped for cigarettes when my mom was in labor. For my brother. True story, right? And whatever it was at the time was closed, so they actually waited. That's how heavily addicted he was to cigarettes. One prayer, never touched it again. We do serve an instant God. We do. We do. But what he did for my dad, he may not do for you. Some people have to go through a process. If God is not changing it instantly, there's your answer. You're going through a process. So he makes it clear there's a process to change. And it comes in three stages. Notice, as I ask this question, how many times did Jesus touch this guy? How many times? No! Everyone says that. Twice. I looked online too, and I said, man, has anyone seen this? Because God's been showing me a lot lately in the Bible, and everyone preaches, he touched him twice. He touched him two times. Sometimes God just needs a second touch from you. Sometimes God just uses, he does it twice. Listen, God did not touch this man twice. He touched him three times. Let's go back to the Bible. And I want you to see something in verse 23. The Bible says, he took the blind man by the what? Whoa, wait a minute. If he took the blind man by the hand. Hey, take my hand real quick. Take my hand. Take my hand. What is this? Is this not a touch? That's the first touch. Jesus did not touch this man twice. He touched him three times. You guys know something now. I think no other church knows. He touched them 3 times, not twice. The first touch was when he reached out to him and took him by the hand. The second time he touched him and his vision was blurry. The third time he touched him, his sight was restored and delivered. So when I read that, the Lord put in my heart, there are 3 stages to reach your best. There are 3 stages to find deliverance. If you want your life to change from where it is right now, you have to go through all of these stages to see your miracle. Whatever you would bring to Jesus, whatever I asked in the beginning, whatever that was, in order to see that thing or that person or that situation change, you will go through these 3 stages. The first stage is the blind stage. The first touch, he grabbed him by the hand. And the Bible says Jesus led him out. Can everyone say led? You see, if you want change in your life, the first thing you need to do is you need to give Jesus the authority to lead. And if God is leading, that means you are following. And many people say, oh, I want God to change. I want God to change me. I want God to deliver me. I want God to bless me. I want to be a better person. I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better parent. I want better finances. I want a better life. Great. God wants that for you too. But in order to see that happen, there has to come a point that you hit stage 1 and you tell God, I cannot lead my life anymore. I need help. Jesus, you lead, I follow. It is an act of surrender. Many people will never change. They will never change until you let Jesus lead. In other words, Jesus takes control, grabs you by the hand, the first touch, and he leads as you are blind. You don't know what he's doing. You don't know where he's taking you. You don't know what he's up to. But you don't care because you're just a follower. We call ourselves Christ followers, but are you really following him? If you're making your own decisions and you're not praying about things and you're living your life and you're not even thinking about what God would want to do, what God's will is, you are not letting him lead. And you're just leading yourself into trouble. If this man, being blind like he was, and Jesus reached out to him and said, let's go. But if this man said, no, Jesus, I want to change. I want my sight to get better, but I don't want to leave here. I don't want to go anywhere. I'm comfortable here. This man would never have gotten his miracle. And I wonder how many people in the church today, like this man, will let Jesus lead. Or you're just going to sit here and say, I wish I was better. I wish my life was different. I wish I could change. I wish I didn't have this sin struggle in my life. I wish I wasn't like this. Oh, I just want a better man. Oh, I'm begging you, Jesus, please fix me. Fix my life. Fix my family. I'm begging you. And he's like, stop begging and start following me. How about that one? Because we can sit in our little pity party and say, I'm blind and life is so hard and I want change. Oh, you want change? Here, let's go. No. Where are we going? Tell me first. Then I'll follow. That's not following. Jesus says, go and I'll show. But you say, no, show and I'll go. It doesn't work like that, y'all. It doesn't work like that. I see so many potential people that can be so amazing and for the kingdom of God never reach their best because they sit and refuse to let Jesus Christ lead their life. You know why they don't want Jesus to lead? Because it means he might take you out of some things you like. He might change some things you want. He was comfortable in his hometown. Jesus said, I can't change you here. You need to let me lead you out, bring you out, change your environment. You want God to change you, he might have to get you out of some things. Get you out of some relationships. He might have to change some certain things in your life to change you. You might have to change your number. You might have to change jobs. You might have to change friends. God may be leading you out of something that has never worked for years. Are you willing to follow when he says, get out? If not, then you're just going to be a hopeless beggar. I have a lot of beggars in this church. And frankly, I feel sorry for you if you're listening to me online as well and you're begging for change, but you're not willing to let Jesus lead. Then you're just going to die with potential, die with desire, and die never reaching the fullness of what Jesus could have done for your life. You see, I think sometimes, if I can preach some truth here, we want change without sacrifice. We want God to change us, but we don't want to change anything about ourselves or a situation. I want to change, but I don't want to change this sin in my life. I don't want to change this relationship. I don't want to change this habit. I don't want to stop this. I don't want to get out of this. But listen, Jesus says, if you want to stay blind and hopeless, stay here. But if you want to see change, I'm reaching out to you. You let me lead. You follow. And let me tell you something. When you follow Jesus, he will not lead you wrong. And you're on your way to something better. Whatever you think you can't change, whatever you think I don't want to get out of, listen, you are wasting your time because what God has is way better than that thing or that place or that person you want to stay with or in. I'm just preaching truth today. Don't get mad at me. First stage is Jesus, I'm tired of leading my life. I'm tired of calling the shots. I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm right here. Take me. I surrender. You lead. And I'll follow. Being blind was frightening for this man. Because here's the interesting thing about blindness. You adapt to how things are in your environment so you're able to manage. The second Jesus grabbed this man and said, let's go, he was literally taking this man to the unfamiliar, to the frightening, to the what are you doing, to the where are we going, to the I don't understand why you're doing this. But did you notice this man never questioned Jesus because he knew he was tired of where he was. If you're tired of where you're at, trust Jesus even if it's frightening. Trust Jesus even if you can't see where he's going. Trust Jesus even if it's unfamiliar to you. Because, you know, we have to stop telling ourselves, I'll never leave this. I'll never stop. I tell myself all the time, I will never leave Hialeah. I don't know why I say that, but let me tell you something. I don't know what God can do. Because we get comfortable where we're at. And you might be comfortable in your sin. You might be comfortable in your circumstances and your problems. You might have settled for this life that you don't like, but you've settled for it because you don't think nothing can be better. But I want to tell you today, God will surprise you if you let him lead. That's the first stage. The second stage is the most dangerous stage. You're thinking more dangerous than letting Christ lead to you where you don't know where he's going? Yeah. The second stage is where I see as a pastor, a lot of people stay in. A lot of people die in, and a lot of people are happy with. That's why I think it's so dangerous. See, I call this stage the blurry stage. The blurry stage. This is now the second touch. Remember, the first touch, surrender to Jesus. He leads, you follow. The second touch was the blurry touch. The blurry stage. You're probably thinking to yourself, why is this stage so dangerous? Let me explain to you why. Because to me, the second stage is not only the most dangerous, I believe it's the saddest, the most empty. Here's the reason why. The second stage is this man got a touch from Jesus a second time, and now he saw blurry. Let me ask you this simple question. What would you prefer, blindness or blurriness? Anyone? Of course. Meaning what? He got better. Did he not get better? Absolutely. Jesus touched him twice. He got better. But let me tell you, though his vision was blurry, it was not complete. It got better, but it wasn't the best. It got better, but Jesus could have done more. It was better than yesterday, but it's not where God wanted to do in tomorrow. It was better than before, but it wasn't the best right now. Why is this stage so dangerous? Because when you go through stage one and you surrender your life to Jesus and he leads now and you follow, let me tell you what happens. Things will get better for you. They get better. As he's walking with Jesus, he wasn't completely healed yet, because sometimes you can be walking with Jesus and not see any change yet. But there will come a point that you're going to see things getting better. So as Jesus touched him a second time when he led him out of his town, he began to see blurry. In other words, things were better. And here's the danger in this. When Jesus asked him, "What do you see?" he could have said, "Hey, I see a lot better. Thank you, Jesus. This is wonderful. I prefer to be blurry than blind. I'm grateful. I'm not going to ask you for any more. I'm not going to bother you with anything else because, hey, Jesus, I've been blind my whole life, but now that I'm blurry, at least I can manage. At least I can walk around. And I know it's not perfect, but I'm okay with this." But then if he was okay with it, why wasn't Jesus? And this is why this stage is so dangerous for Christians, because you settle because things are better. And you say, "Well, it's better, so I'm happy." But don't be happy with better. Be happy with the best. Don't be happy with better. Are you kidding me? Do we not serve the best God? So why would you settle for better? Let me give you some examples through my years of being a pastor, not only here at Forward, but in other churches I've been a part of. And I want to tell you, I'm not talking about anyone here. I'm just saying what I've heard people tell me. And it's funny. It's hilarious. This has been told to me. "Pastor, God is good." "Why, so-and-so?" "Well, I've gone from 4 packs of cigarettes a day to 2. God is good." My favorite one. I still talk to him today. "I'm better. Things are awesome. I switched over to light beer." He told me that. Praise God. "I'm so much better." These are true stories. "Pastor, I can see the change in my life. Why? Because this time I only listened to gossip, I didn't speak it. Pastor, things are so much brighter. Why? Because this week I only blew up twice and got angry. Pastor, things are amazing. Why? I only lied to my boss once this week at work. I'm getting better. You're still smoking, you're still drinking, you're still gossiping, you're still angry, you're still lying. Are you going to settle for that? I wonder how many of you praise better. I understand it. I'm not saying that you don't celebrate the small victory. I know you do. Celebrate the small victories. Don't stay there, though. That's what I'm saying. So many of us preaching, oh, celebrate the small progress. Celebrate the small victories. Yeah, celebrate it. Don't stay there. You know what I love about sports? They'll celebrate their victory. Don't throw the parade. Don't walk around with the trophy. But then they put it in the shelf and they head back to practice for next year. So I'm all for your celebrating that you're getting better. Your marriage is getting better. Your kids are getting better. Your spiritual life is getting better. Your mouth is getting better. Your eyes are getting better. All your hearing is getting better. The way you're treating people is getting better. But let me ask you this, church. It may be better, but is it the best? Can God do more? If yes, don't settle. Jesus asked them, what do you see? Oh, I see better. And Jesus didn't say, hey, be grateful, at least you see better. Don't be inconsiderate. You used to be blind, okay? He told Jesus, no, I mean, I'm better, but I'm not delivered. I'm proud of you guys because I see you guys getting better. I can tell you that a lot of you aren't getting delivered. Can we just receive this as a word from God that you're not going to settle for better, but you're going to fight to get God's best for your life? Don't settle for a better relationship. Well, he's a better boyfriend than my last one. Is he the best? No, he's better. Dump him. Well, I'm getting better as a Christian. Yeah, but are you the best Christian? Well, I'm a better parent. Yeah, but are you the best parent? Well, I'm a better spouse. I'm a better husband. I'm a better wife. Yeah, but are you the best husband? Are you the best wife? You know, through the years of being a pastor, I've gotten to be a better pastor. I understand that. I learned. I went through the processor. I'm still in the processor. But every day of my life, I'm saying, God, I can be the best pastor there's ever been. I know it, God, but I need your help. I'm not settling for a better church. I'm not settling for a better pastor. I'm not settling for better. I tell God every day, make me the best son I can be, the best future husband I can be, make me the best pastor I can be. God wants to give you the best, but you cannot get the best if you settle for better. Let me tell you why this is so sad. Because the better stage, the blurry stage, only means God can do more. God can do more. And look at your life right now. God can do more for you. But you're just happy with better. And why it's so sad in this stage is because better still can destroy your life. You can be better and still struggle with sin. You can have a better marriage and still get divorced. You can have a better child and still have him rebel. You can have a better job and still get fired. Let me tell you that better is not best. And I believe as a church today, many of us have that temptation where the devil is just saying, oh, you're better, stay better, stay better. You're good. You're good as better. Because the devil knows you can reach your best. Anyone like cookie dough here? Sinners, man. Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. You ever bake cookies before? I have. In the first stage, it's just flour. You ever like try this? Not good. That's the first stage. But when you mix it all in, there's cookie dough. You ever had cookie dough? Some of you never reach it to the oven. Can I get a witness? Back there, you, yeah? Sinners. You want to go to the oven, but you're like, there's no cookie dough left. Because you keep doing this, making the bowl, you keep eating your cookie dough. They make candy out of this now. Sinners. I thought about cookie dough because I looked at it and I said, wait a minute. Cookie dough is not done. Cookie dough is not finished. Cookie dough can become more. Cookie dough needs the oven. But some of us, I believe, we're just cookie dough Christians. See, God has so much more for your life. God can transform you even more. God can bless you even more. But you're saying, you know what, God? I'm happy being a cookie dough Christian. I can be happy in the. I know you can do more. I know you can give me more. I know I can be the best. But at least I'm better than this. See, I praise God because you're not where you used to be. But I keep praying for you because you're not where you need to be. Am I lying to you today? So we need to stop this Christian cookie dough religion, whatever you want to call it, and not settle for this. Because when God looks at you, He says, I know you're better because of me. I know you're better because you started following me. I know you're better because I'm leading your life. But I want to tell you, you're not there yet. You haven't reached the best of your potential. You haven't reached the best of my plans. You haven't reached the best of your life. And if you continue to follow me, you will reach the best. But don't you settle for better. Don't tell God, well, I'm better and I'm happy that way. So this guy is asked this question by Jesus. What do you see? Why did Jesus touch him three times? Because the second time, could Jesus have healed him completely? Absolutely. But it was a test. I believe Jesus was testing him to see if he would settle for blurry. If he would settle for better. And what a test that is for all of us. Because I know a lot of you can look back and say, Pastor, I let Jesus lead. And my life got better, and my family got better, and I got better. And I praise God for that. But could you look at yourself right now and say, I'm not the best. I know God can do more. I know God can change more. I know God can cut me from those two packs to zero. I know I can go from light beer to no beer. I know I can go from hearing gossip to not even being around it. I know I can go from blowing up to twice a week to just blowing up in joy and never having anger in my life anymore. I know I can be the best employee. I know I can be the best spouse. I know I can be the best person God wants me to be. Will you settle for better? Or will you fight to be the best? Jesus asked him, what do you see? And I'll close with this third stage. One of the most difficult questions I believe Jesus asked was this one. What do you see? Because your perception will determine what God can do in your life. Your perception of your life and yourself will determine what God can do. What do you see? Here's how you answer two ways. God, I see I have a lot more to change. I see that I haven't finished. I see that I still struggle. I see that I still have a long way to go. If that's your perception, God can change you more. But sometimes God asks, hey, what do you see? Oh, I see that I'm better. I see that I've changed that and I stopped that and I see that I'm being blessed and things are a lot better. And God says, I can't do any more for you. Because if you settled for better, you're telling God there's no more. But if you tell God, I'm better, but I'm still struggling, you're telling God, you're not finished with me. Keep working. Am I making sense this morning? So, Jesus asked this question that I will ask you. What do you see? Put your perception on where you need to be, not where you've gone. And you will reach the top. Christians that overcome, people that climb mountains, people that truly reach the potential that God wants for them, are those that have a perception that say, there's more, there's more. I can change, I can be better, I'm not finished yet. So when Jesus asked this man, what do you see? He said the truth. I see people like trees. What did he tell Jesus? I'm better, but something's not right. Something's off. The story of our church, you're better, but is there something off about you? You're better, but is there something in your life that still needs changing? You're better, but are you delivered? Jesus didn't die for you to be better. He died for you to be delivered. Big difference. The deliverance stage. The stage of deliverance, the third stage, is the third touch. The third touch. That says, I used to be in bondage. I used to struggle with this. This used to break me. But this is no longer evident in my life. The deliverance stage is what used to keep you in bondage, keeps you in bondage no more. The deliverance stage is what used to break apart your family and your marriage no longer does. The deliverance stage is what used to depress you and discourage you and make you suicidal no longer has a hold on you. The deliverance stage is when you're able to look back and say, that will never be me again. Have you been delivered? Or are you just better? The deliverance stage is only reached when you're honest with yourself and with God. You see, when Jesus asked this question, he did not ask him privately. He asked him in front of everyone. So this man could have said, man, what if people judge me because I'm better, but I'm not delivered? What if I make God look bad? Well, what if people just make fun of me? No, listen. Jesus said, how are you doing? "What do you see?" And he said, "I'm better. But I'm not completely delivered." And Jesus reached again, third time, touched him, and he was completely delivered. Which tells me one thing. First, he was honest with himself. "I'm struggling. Things are blurry. I'm not right. Something's not right." See, you'll never change until you're honest with yourself that you still struggle with this. Whatever it is, you would have brought to Jesus. And then you get honest with God and say, "Lord, I'm grateful, but I'm not delivered. And I'm not going to settle for just blurry. I'm going to settle for complete deliverance." So here's the story of this man's life. When I recap it, this man will tell you, if you were here today, "Hey, once upon a time, I was blind. I was in bondage. I was broken. I was hopeless." That's some of us here today. You're saying, "Once upon a time." You can remember when you were broken, you were blind, you were completely in bondage. You couldn't see correctly. And then this man would tell you, "I was in bondage, but then Jesus reached out to me. I did not reach out to him." Because let me tell you one thing that we all seem to get wrong. You did not reach to God. God reached down to you. Let's get that right. So this man will say, "One time I was in bondage, but then Jesus saw my pain. He saw my struggle. He saw what I was going through. He wanted me to be healed. So I heard God speak to me." Because he did not see the hand. He heard the voice of the hand. And maybe God is speaking to you right now, saying, "I'm reaching out to you. Through this pastor, I'm reaching out to you." If you're tired of your life, if you're tired of what you're living like, if you're tired of the bondage, if you're tired of the depression, if you're tired of the sin, if you're tired of the brokenness, "I want you to hear me," Jesus said. "I'm reaching out to you, but you need to take my hand. Will you let me follow?" So this man will tell you, "Okay, once upon a time I was blind, I was in bondage, I was in sin, but then Jesus came into my life, he reached down to me, I accepted the request to reach back to him, I took him by the hand, and we began to walk together. When I was walking with Jesus, I was still blind. When I was walking with Jesus, nothing really changed. I didn't feel any different." Because sometimes you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but you're not going to feel any different. But as I kept walking with him, I didn't realize the more I walked with Jesus, the further away I was walking away from my past. And as I kept walking with Jesus, one day he touched me again. And then things got a lot better, and I became a better person. I was able to see better. I was able to walk better, to maneuver better, to manage better. Jesus made everything better. But then I got real with myself, and I told Jesus, "Things are better, but you can do more." So Jesus touched me a third time. And when Jesus touched me a third time, I was completely delivered. So now I had gone from better to delivered. That should be the story of all of us here today. So if you're tired, he's reaching to you. If you're better, praise God. But why stop there? You can be the best in every area God has placed you in. So can we as a church say, we're not going to be a better church, we're going to be the best church that God can make us? Can you say, I'm not going to be a better Christian, I'm going to be the best Christian I know God can make me? Can you leave this church saying, I'm not going to be a better husband, a better wife, I'm going to be the best? Can you leave this church saying, I'm not going to be a better employee tomorrow, I'm going to be the best? And actually show up on time. By a show of hands, how many of you can confess today that God can do more in your life? What are you waiting for? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. Father, forgive us for our cookie dough Christianity. Forgive us for settling for better. Lord, you've made me better. You've made us better. But when we see ourselves the way you truly want us to see ourselves in our lives, there's so much more you can do. There's so much more you can accomplish if we step out of what's better and reach for what's best. If you're here this morning, my prayer is simple. If you hear God speaking to you right now, that, and he's reaching out to you, and he's telling you right now, will you let me lead? Will you stop leading? Would you trust me and follow? Would you surrender your life to me? If you're here now, you're listening online, maybe God is telling you right now. He sees your pain. He sees your struggle. He sees your hurt. He sees how damaged you've become, how much brokenness there is. And I love the fact that no matter how bad things are, he will always reach out for you. And the voice is telling you, take my hand. Let's do the first touch together. Let's go through the first stage together. Surrender your life to me. Because Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. And nothing can happen unless you reach out to him right now. If this is you, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to surrender once and for all my life to Jesus right now. And if you're listening to me online right now, I bless you. I see your hand. If you're reaching out right now online, wherever you may be in your car, you may be in your computer right now or in your iPod listening to our podcast. You get to a place right now by yourself right now and you pray this with me. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know you're reaching down to me, and I will receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Ask you to lead now my life as I completely surrender to you, asking you, you tell the Lord right now to forgive you of your sins. And you tell him right now, I surrender to you. You died on the cross for my sins. I know who you are, what you did for me. And today I receive you and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pray for those. I know someone got saved online right now. But there's some other person here I want to pray for. With every head bowed, every eye closed, can we stand to our feet right now? Because I know the second prayer is for a lot of people here today. And you're saying, Pastor, I've been walking with Jesus but haven't seen change. I've been walking with Jesus. Things have gotten better. But if God would ask me right now, what do I see? If your answer is, I have a long way to go. They're better, but I'm still broken. They're better, but I'm still damaged. They're better, but I'm not completely delivered. I'm better, but I'm still struggling. I'm better, but I'm still hurting. I'm better, but I still need a lot of change. I'm better because I'm not where I used to be. But I'm struggling because I know I'm not where God wants me to be. And I'm not the best me I can be right now. I'm not the best father. I'm not the best mother. I'm not the best spouse. I'm not the best single person. I'm not the best woman. I'm not the best man. I'm not the best employee. I'm not the best churchgoer. I'm not the best Christian. I know God can do so much more, but I believed that better was okay. If that's you, as an act of confession, I challenge you, put your hand up right now. God bless you. God bless you all around the room today. And let me pray for you right now. You just tell the Lord right now where you got him better. First praise him. Where you have you got him better? But now tell the Lord in your heart where you're still struggling. Where you're still in bondage. Where you're still hurting. Because Jesus will not settle for a better life for you. Because he knows he died to give you the best. And you tell the Lord right now, Lord, you touched me once. But I need that third touch. You touched me once when I received you as my Lord and Savior. You touched me twice because things got better. But I need that third touch now because things can get a lot better, but they're not. And you tell the Lord lastly, answer that question I first asked. If you can bring anything to Jesus knowing he would change it, what would you bring him? Father, in Jesus' name, by your power, I pray for anyone here today that's better. We praise you, Lord, because the first touch got us delivered. The first touch got us saved. The first touch got us out of the bondage of hell. The first touch, Father, was the best touch. It was a touch that said we were separated in our sin, but you died on the cross for our sins to bring us to God, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice and the first touch. Can we give him praise right now for the first touch? Because we did not deserve the first touch, but he did. And Father, you know that you've touched this church. And they have walked with you. They are following you. And we declare that, Lord, we thank you because things have gotten better for them. But I know, God, that you can do more for them. And I pray for anyone in this church now, Lord. Or anyone listening online in any part of the world right now. That they're better, God. But they're still not delivered. They're still struggling with something. Father, in your grace and in your mercy, I pray for the third touch to touch them right now. Set someone free from addiction right now. Set someone free from bondage. Set someone free from unforgiveness and bitterness. Set someone free right now, God, that has gotten better with that problem, but that problem is still getting the best of them, Father. Because we know, Father, you can do more. You can accomplish the best. We can be the best us we can be in you, Jesus. So I pray in Jesus' name right now for the third touch to touch you. May you leave this church completely delivered, walking in your best on the way to where God is going to deliver you. May you be delivered from your past, delivered from your sin, delivered from your bondage, delivered from your addiction. May you be delivered once and for all. May you not come back to this church better, but may you come back to this church completely delivered. In Jesus' mighty name, we surrender to you now, Lord. Amen and amen. Give him a huge shout of praise if you feel the third touch coming into your life. And declare with your mouth, I am better, but I am on my way to being